The reading is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13 and on page 994 in the Church Bibles. At the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the choir rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you.
Pictures up on the screen of some weddings. They appear. There we go. I think is the great thing is that we can look at these pictures here and we can see straight away that of course they're weddings. They're weddings because we know what one looks like, don't we? The weddings that we go to often are very similar in lots of different ways. There'll always be a ceremony. There'll be a celebration. There's a couple getting married, a cake, all those sort of things that we like to celebrate because weddings are great, aren't they? We enjoy celebrating weddings. They're happy occasions. Now, look, the story, the parable that we had told to us by Jesus is a bit strange because we might read it and not really recognize it as a wedding. Why? Because it's not like ours. In Jesus' day, the ceremony would have been at the bride's house, and then the banquet, the celebration afterwards, would have been at the groom's house. And they would have, the wedding party after the celebration will have gone to the groom's house for the big banquet, but the groom would often stay sorting things out with the bride's parents. You can imagine the sort of conversations that had to take place. You know, kind of things like, what's she like first thing in the morning? How many bathrooms is she going to need? How many camels does this arrangement require of us? All those negotiations are going on. Meanwhile, all the rest of the guests are at the groom's house waiting for the party to start. Now, if you've ever been to a wedding, you will know that waiting is a big part of a wedding day. Have you that been your experience? You're waiting for the bride to arrive for the service to start. I've had to wait. Are you ready for this? I've had to wait an hour and a half for a bride to arrive to her wedding. It's the longest I've had to wait. An hour and a half. I've had brides' cars break down. I've had brides whose dresses have split and have had to be sewn back up. I've had all sorts of things go on that brides are late. But in Jesus' day, it wasn't the bride who was known to be late. It was the groom. And sometimes it would be very late in the night before he would arrive. And in this parable, the groom is being met by these bridesmaids who in the evening would carry torches. And these torches, they would walk together in this procession as the groom arrives at the party. Now remember, Jesus is teaching his disciples about waiting for his return. He's been teaching them that he will one day come back as king and he will return from heaven to bring about his perfect rule where he will gather his people together to be with him forever. Indeed, the Old Testament talked about that time as being like a wedding banquet. A wedding banquet. when there'll be a great celebration when Jesus, the Son, will celebrate his wedding with his bride, the church. And Jesus promised and he taught his disciples one day he would come back in glory. Remember, we've learned that it would be an unmissable event, and it was a certain event. We just don't know when. So we're to be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. That's what Jesus has been teaching his disciples. And so as we wait for him, we're to live expecting him to come, to keep trusting that one day he will come, like he says, a bit like these little popper things and our jack-in-a-box. Remember, we might not know when he comes, but he will come. It will happen. We just don't know when. So we're to be ready and not caught out. That's why Jesus tells story. You may have noticed verse 13. We're told in our reading why Jesus tells this parable. Verse 13, he says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." So we're to be ready for Jesus to come, because we don't know when he will come. We just know that he will. Now, in our parable, a couple of things I want us to see. And the first thing I want us to see is that we're to be ready for when Jesus returns. We're to be ready for when Jesus returns. Now, in the story, in the parable that Jesus was teaching his disciples, remember, there were two types of bridesmaids, so wonderfully demonstrated to us by our Ignite bridesmaids. The two bridesmaids, they are, we're told, five of them were foolish and five were wise, verse 2. Why were the foolish bridesmaids foolish? We're told because they didn't bring any extra oil. Now, just as we have batteries to keep our torches going, they used oil to keep their torches going. And five of the bridesmaids were wise. They brought with them little jars of extra oil because they were ready in case the bridegroom would take longer than what they thought. But the foolish bridesmaids weren't ready. They weren't ready for Jesus to come later. So as the evening draws on, the bridesmaids are waiting for the bridegroom to come. They get tired and they start to fall asleep. And that's not a problem. The problem is verse 6. At midnight, a cry ran out. "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." And suddenly, as this cry comes out, the bridegroom arrives. The difference between the two groups of bridesmaids is seen. The foolish ones are seen to be foolish, and the wise ones are seen to be wise. Why? Let me read verse 7. "Then all the virgins woke up," the bridesmaids, that is. They woke up, they trimmed their lamps, they prepared their torches. "The foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves.'" I wonder, do you see the point Jesus is making as he tells this story? You see, we're to be ready for Jesus, even if Jesus takes a long time to come back. Now, in the story, it was all evening. At one family member's wedding, we had to wait 2.5 hours whilst the bride and groom were having photographs taken. It was felt like forever and ever. But Jesus said he'd come back, and it's 2,000 years later, and he's still not come back. We keep waiting. But as well as waiting for Jesus to return, you know, from the time when he was first here to when he's today, when will he come? Remember, we don't know. We're still waiting. That will also be the experience in our lives. Do you know, there are some people here today who have been Christians for more than, you ready for this, more than 40 years, 50 years, maybe even 60 years. That's a long time, isn't it? A long time of being a Christian to keep going, trusting in Jesus every day. That's a very, very long time. If you're a new Christian here today, or if you're a young person, know this. You might be living for Jesus all of your lives. Every day, waking up, learning to live for Jesus every day. Maybe for years and years and years. And as Jesus tells us, he teaches us, we need to be ready for when he returns. And we're wise if we keep living for Jesus, waiting for him to come each day. And whether God gives us 80 years of living as a Christian, or just a few, we're to keep trusting him each and every day. You see, the foolish bridesmaids, they're not ready because, well, they didn't think the bridegroom would take so long. And so they weren't prepared. So today, the most important thing we need to remember is if we're ready for when Jesus returns is this. Am I trusting Jesus as God's King today? As my Savior, the one who died for me and has given me new life that I might live for him today and the rest of my days until he brings me into his eternal presence. Am I doing that? Am I trusting in Jesus? Am I living for him? That's the first thing we need to know about being ready. We need to know that Jesus will keep his promise. Jesus' word is true and he will come back and do as he says. But secondly, it will mean keeping on going with Jesus, won't it? Keeping on going each day. That's how we're prepared. So when he comes, or when he takes us home to be with him when we die, we will be ready. That is being wise, says Jesus. Are you ready for that? Well, I'm thinking, well, yes, but why does this matter quite so much? Is it really that important? I wonder how you guys on this side felt missing out on the party. It's not nice, is it, when we, you know, when we see or know of other people who have been invited to a party, they go have a great time. I mean, it was wild over on this side, and we feel like we're missing out. Nobody likes to miss out, do we? See, that's why Jesus tells us, he teaches us now about this so that we don't miss out on what is even more important than a great party. It is about being friends with God forever, being in his blessing and eternity, his life. To know his joy and the wonder of his presence and his glory and wonder to be with God's people forever and ever. And Jesus doesn't want us to miss out on that. But Jesus' story, as often his parables do, it has a real punch at the end. And the punch is this, that the door was shut. The door was shut. You might think, oh, that's a bit harsh. But Jesus tells us about this story so that we would know this. No, find my little, where are we? There are no second chances after this life. There are no second chances after this life. And Jesus tells us this story in a shocking way so that we would learn from Jesus that this really matters. It matters to us today. The door was shut. Now, Jesus... remember, he's telling the story that the foolish wise maids have had to rush off and buy extra oil for their torches. They've now got their torches burning, and they come and they knock at the celebration house. Open the door for us, they said. But the bridegroom replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. He didn't recognize them because they weren't there when he arrived. He didn't recognize them because he didn't know them. They were like strangers to him, and the door remained shut. I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Now, Jesus tells us this because he wants to warn us that it matters now in the life God has given to us, now, today, because we don't know how long our life will be, that we respond to Jesus. Remember, how are we wise? How are we prepared for when Jesus comes? We trust him with our lives. We come to him recognizing we need forgiveness. We need him to forgive us and to live for him, to live each day obedient, loving, faithful lives. That's what, remember, we need to do, but the point is we need to do it today, this day, because today might be the day when the door is shut. Today might be the day that the door is shut. Now, look, there are all sorts of things that people might think, well, you know, I've got so much that I want to do. And we hear this all the time, don't we? So, people say, I'll take Jesus seriously when? I'll take Jesus seriously when? Well, when I'm older, some of you might be thinking here. When I'm older, I'll take Jesus seriously. Well, I've had time to kind of do some of the things that I want to do with my life. Later, when I've done what I want to do, or when I'm less busy, when I've got a bit more time, all sorts of reasons. People might think, maybe not yet. I'm interested, but not yet. I'm not going to take Jesus seriously. I'm not going to live for him because of these sorts of things and many others beside. And Jesus warns us the door will be shut. There are no second chances after this life. When Jesus returns, what we have done in this life makes the difference. Have we responded to him? Do we know the bridegroom? Do we know Jesus? That's what matters. But people have all sorts of strange ideas. They'll say things like, but, I went to Sunday school. That should open up the door for me. No, we're wise when we trust Jesus as our Savior, as our Rescuer, and as our King. Oh, yeah, going to Sunday school is a great thing. Absolutely brilliant. Well, obviously when you're a child. But Sunday school's brilliant, but we'll learn about Jesus, but we need to respond. Or maybe some will say, but my mum went to church. She went every Sunday. And we're foolish if we think that that will open the door for us. Because all of us have to be ourselves friends with the King, with Jesus, with the bridegroom. We don't want Jesus' words to us on the last day to be, well, I knew your mum, but I don't know you. Or we might say, but I went on a summer camp. Had a great time. Wonderful. But do you know the bridegroom? Or we might say, but I did Christianity Explored. And again, brilliant. Really helpful to help you find out more about who Jesus is and why you should trust him. But here's the question. What opens the door for us? In this life, it's knowing Jesus as our friend, our rescuer, and our King, and our Lord. Our people have all sorts of reasons why they think that God should let them in through the door. And I've heard all sorts through the years, all sorts of things. But here's the one thing that matters, says Jesus. Do I know you? Do I know you? Are you my friend? Have you trusted me? Have you come to me as Savior? Have you trusted me as your King? Are you living for me each day? That's what matters, because there are no second chances after this life. So therefore, Jesus says, keep watch, be prepared, act today, because you do not know the hour when he will come. It might be today, it might be in 1,000 years, but there will come a day when our life will end and a new life will begin. And Jesus warns us because he wants us to spend life and eternity with him. Well, will we do that? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us and sent your Son into the world so that through his teaching, his life, his death, and his resurrection for us, we might be brought into friendship with you through Jesus. Thank you, we can know Jesus. Thank you that we need not be a stranger to him, because he has done all that we need to know him and be friends with him. And Father, we again reminded from this story, as Jesus warns us that this life counts, we pray, Heavenly Father, that even today we would be trusting in Jesus and living for him as our King and as our friend. Help us to be wise, prepared for when he returns. For we ask this in your name. Amen.